But what we want to look at tonight here, Philippians, the fourth chapter. So we've been talking about the Word. Now I want you to listen to this verse, and we're just going to break this verse down. We'll be jumping around some other places too, but again, I've got you. I got mine all written down, so don't get caught looking. Just write them down. Philippians 4 and 9, Paul is saying, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Receive the word. That's what we want to talk about tonight. Receiving the word, or taking the word, or surrendering to the word. Surrendering to it. The Greek means to receive near, associate with oneself. To receive near, associate with oneself. In other words, it's going to be a part of your life, the word. Not just learn. You know, you and I can learn. A lost person can learn. We can all achieve a great knowledge about the Bible. But does just learning profit us? Hold that question. We'll get back to that. But does just learning profit us? Now, go ahead and turn to Hebrews. Let me ask you a question. Hebrews 10. But first, we have to learn. As a child goes to school, why does he go to school? So he can learn. And he starts out in kindergarten or preschool, however it is nowadays, and they teach them so that they could learn. Now, but we're talking about the Word of God. So the question is, where do we learn that from? Well, a church. We learn from churches about God's Word. That word learn there, you notice it's in the past tense, or understood. Excuse me. But we learn at church. And that's why church is so very important. Hebrews 10:25, if it wasn't important, and this wouldn't be in the Bible, it says, not forsaking, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. So we learn from churches. We learn the scriptures when we come to church. So that's why it's so very important to come to church. In the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, Jesus, he gives the commission to the church. And you notice what he says, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Jesus is the authority. He says, this is what I want you to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He wants his churches to preach the gospel. He wants them to see people saved. And it doesn't stop there. What else does he want his churches to do? Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So when we want to learn about Scripture, a good place to come is his church. Come to his house. He wants us to come here. It's very needful for us to come here. It's spiritually strengthening to ourselves, to the word, for the fellowship, etc., and so forth. So we come to church to learn. Where do we learn? First, we got to learn. Well, where can you learn? The church. You can come to the church. Well, how else can we learn? 1 Peter 2 and 2. We all know this particular passage. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Personal study. It's great to come to church and to learn, to be taught the word of God, but we need it also in our personal lives at home, that we can go to the Lord in prayer, open up his word, and let him teach us. Very important. So we do need to learn. What do we do? James 1 and 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Why do we need to learn? So we can learn and get wisdom about God's word. But what does he say to do? He says to ask for it. We need to ask. Like I said, I could learn this book from the front to the back. I can memorize it up here. I can't really, but just saying. But that wouldn't profit me anything. I need to understand it. I need to get wisdom. And the only place that comes from is from God. He's the one that gives you that wisdom. And he says, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally, freely. You don't have to pay a dime for it. He wants to give it to you. He wants you to have a desire to look at his word, to learn his word, and he'll be given to you. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. But you know what it says, everyone, you got to ask, you got to seek, and you got to knock. You know, there's a little bit on our part. You know, I can't just sit down here and pop my head open and let God pour it in. It don't work that way. I have to seek it. I have to come to church. I have to get my Bible out at home. I have to seek it, asking him to give me that wisdom. So we first have to learn. We learn at church. We learn a personal study, Bible studies at home, etc. So what's the next part of a verse? It says, those things which you have both learned, we know where we learn from. And then what does it say? And received. And received. Take it in personally. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. God doesn't use an audible voice. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you know, if I was an apostle and I was running around with Jesus, it'd make a difference. Or, you know, if I was one of the prophets, you know, had God speak to me personally, that would be different. It isn't any different. He's speaking to you right here. See, this is where we got to really grasp. This is the Word of God. And he's talking to us. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to. He chose to talk to us. And we can have a personal relationship. We can receive that Word into ourselves. We got to receive it. Or surrender to it. We got to do that. Go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We need to receive it. But how do we receive it? Now, the first thing that came to my mind when I thought about this question, well, I need to receive it in my heart, which is true, but there's a receiving even before that, I believe. Now, the first part of this read, I really don't need to read all this, but I think it's very, very good. And this is Paul, and he's talking about how he preaches. And I want you to notice what he says. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, in verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in and to you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation, now he's getting ready to tell you how he preached to these people. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tried our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. Nor of man sought we glory, nor of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhort and comfort and charge one of you as father doth his child, that you walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word, my question was, how do we receive the word? But when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which worketh effectually also in you that believe. So Paul preached the gospel. People were saved. Were they saved because he was such an elegant speaker? Nope. Was he? You can see how he preached there, how he came to them, and how he had a great desire for their soul. And he preached to them, and they received the word. They didn't receive the word because of Paul. You can't say, well, Paul preached it to them, and they received the word. No, Paul preached to them, but it was in humility. He wasn't a great preacher. He wasn't somebody that would get a rousing applause when he got done. But yet, who does the saving? God does. I can't save anyone. Pastor can't save anyone. All you can do is give people the word. And God does the saving. We don't have to put on a show to make that happen. God don't need us. We kind of hate to hear that, don't we? He don't really need us. He has chosen to give us the pleasure and the joy of spreading his gospel. And these people received the word. And how did they receive it? Not as the word of men, but they received it as truth. They received it. It was God's word, not Paul's. Paul couldn't boast in his preaching, but they received it. And that's the way we need to do it. Confident that this is God's word. He's talking to us. Holy, persuaded, confident that's his word. Makes a big difference when you start to read it. This is God talking to me. It's a big difference. So they received it. Those things which you have both learned, and they not only learned it, they received it. They took it in. They made it part of their lives. They accepted it as God's word. And they wasn't wavering in that. The book of James tells us, but let us ask him in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. It doesn't do you any good. How should they expect anything from God? So they learned. We need to learn, understand it. We go to church to learn. We have a personal study to learn. We ask for understanding. And then once the Lord gives that to us, we receive it as His Word. His Word. And that makes it a lot more potent.
That's right.
It's God's Word. It's what God's saying.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this question. What is the most important thing to learn about and then receive it? The gospel. The gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. We all know this particular passage. Now, I'm sure we can all here probably tonight recite John 3:16. If you ask most sinners, they also can too recite John 3:16. That knowledge of that verse does nothing unless it's received. Just knowing it up here doesn't profit you. It has to be received. And what did the church of Corinth do? 1 Corinthians 15 and 1. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. They received that gospel. They heard that gospel. They believed that gospel. They received that gospel. And now they were standing in that gospel. That was how they were saved. That gospel. And they were standing on that. Acts the second chapter, verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received His word. They just went through a preaching. And they heard it. And then what did they do? They received it. They took it into themselves. They believed it. And then what happened? Then they were baptized. And the same day they were adding unto them 3,000 souls. Can you imagine? 3,000 people in one day. That's the power of God, not man. So salvation is something that needs to be received. It needs to be learned about. But to profit it, an individual has to receive it, believe it, take it within. Need to learn it, and you need to receive it. What else does the verse say? Those things which you both learned and received and what? Heard and seen in me. The word heard means simply give an audience. Seen in me, behold. So they saw the life of Paul. They seen, as we just read earlier about how he preached, how he didn't want to be a burden to them for food or money or anything. They worked, they labored with their own hands, so the church didn't have to support them. They seen the love that Paul had for them. They had that example before. They heard him. They seen him. They beheld his life. If Paul could do it, so could they. If he could do it, you know, Paul, he's living this life. It's a tough life. Christian life ain't a bed of roses. But they seen it, and he loving it, loving his service to God. So they heard it. They seen it. They've seen it, you know, as Elisha seen the life of Elijah, what did he ask for? When Elijah asked him, what would you have of me? He wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elijah's life so affected Elisha that he wanted a double portion of it, of his spirit. That's the way Paul was. They heard him, they seen him. And to make a statement and seen in me, do. As they had learned, as they had received, as they had heard and seen it in Paul himself as an example, they were to do it. They were to do that. Now, I'm a carpenter. Now, I could have learned all the things about carpentry. I could have gained a knowledge about carpentry in my life. I could have gained that all. But until I took that knowledge and some tools and some material, then it profited me. When I used those things in my life, then you could see what I had learned profited me. Brother Caleb back there, apprenticing electricians, what does he do? He goes to school. He learns. But what else does he do? He goes on the job where he can take what he has learned and apply it to help a company to make money. Noah, going to be a nurse. What happens? He studies, he learns, he goes to the hospital to apply what he has learned to what he's going to be doing. Jordan, same way, she's teaching. She goes to the schools, learns it, and then applies it. So we have to learn. But then we have to do what? What Paul says, do. We have to practice it. We have to put it into practice into our lives. The book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Verses that we're very familiar with, but most of the time we forget the last part of this. So Paul is instructing them to take what they learned, take what they received, what they saw in his life, to do it in their lives. Amen. You know, that's God's plan.
That's right. Amen.
That's God's plan. Acts, the second chapter, particular verse we all know is verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Most generally, we stop right there, but it goes on. We see the plan. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We do. We learn, we receive, and we do. It's a pattern. That's God's plan. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to do those things. The book of James, let me speed up here. The book of James, the first chapter. We'll just begin at verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Lord doesn't change. He don't change at all. Even though when I'm not what I'm supposed to be, he still loves me. He still cares about me. And that's amazing. That's grace. That's grace and mercy. He doesn't change. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But you got to receive it. Learn it, receive it, and then what? Verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightforth forget what manner of man he was. Doer, we practice it. We strive in our lives by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk in his grace and mercy, to do his will. And when we do that, that's our person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's their desire. Their main desire is to do that. 1 John, the second chapter, when we practice what we've learned and received, that's evidence that we know him. Evidence that we know him. 1 John 2, beginning at verse 3, it says, "And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." Like Paul was telling that church there to walk like he walked, Jesus is telling us to walk like he walked. And when we do that, Luke, the 11th chapter, when we do that, verse 28, it says, "But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it."
Amen.
It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It's a blessing to do his commandments. It fills you with joy because you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. And doing all this, of course, we do all this by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And what's the last part of that verse? We'll close. Let's read it all. "For those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." And when we do all those things, "and the God of peace shall be with you."
Amen.
The God of peace will be with you. Peace. You know, it's hard to, you know, that describes us as enemies of God and the wrath of God upon us. But because of his grace and mercy and the sacrifice of his Son, we have peace with God. And when we do what he wants us to do, we have peace with God. Hebrews 13 and 20, last verse. Hebrews 13, 20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We're not doing this by ourselves. This God of peace is one that's working in us. And that's a blessing to know, because as I look at myself, I see failures and faults and etc. But God doesn't see that. He's making you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. So as we look and been looking at the word, what we've seen tonight, we need to receive the word. We need to learn it. We need to receive it. And we need to do it. Okay. Thank you for your attention.